Yo, hey, everybody, here we are. We're in December. We did it. We made it. We made it to December, and we're going to get out of this, and it's going to be January and then February, because I know the calendar, because I went to school. And this is an episode, I think, if you're a fan of this guy, you're going to love it, because I really get a kick out of him. Dave Portnoy, the stool presidente of Barstool Sports, he started the company, I think, 17 years ago. And it has emerged into this quite an amazing thing. Just go to barstoolsports.com and you can see all the different shows. I've been on a bunch of them. I met Dave on the streets of New York. I'd watched him before on Instagram or on Twitter. And he's got a private account on Instagram, and I'll explain that. And also the great guys that do KFC Radio, that's Kevin Clancy, and Feidelberg, these two guys, they do Barstool Sports, and they're really great guys. And Kevin Clancy does hilarious Barstool Sports reviews or comments of the day. I find him to be very funny. And Chicks in the Office, Rhea and Fran, they are smart. They are adorable. So I totally, what else can I plug on there? There's a lot of good stuff. They have a lot of past content. Call Me Daddy, I believe. I was going to go on there, but I'm scared to talk that blue. Anyway, this is Bob Sagitt here for you, and you know what you do. You rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment, make it positive. Come on, come on. It's the holidays. I can't take no negativeness no more or bad grammar. So you just do what you got to do. Do subscribe and follow and watch and listen. Watch, you go to YouTube for that if you want to stare at a split screen forever. But otherwise, I'm really happy and appreciative. You guys have been listening all year. I started, as you know, in March. I'm into my 70s, not my age. That's a while away because I lotion, so I look good. I'm having a rough hair day, but that's why. Now you'll go to YouTube to check it out. Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. It's just some days you just don't do much, and then it's like I closed the oven, and it like fell like a pizza that didn't get to rise. Wait, pizzas don't, cake. Pizzas don't rise, they're flat, right? Unless they're floppy. Dave Portnoy knows all about that, and he's gonna tell you about it right now, and I'm gonna let him in. Here comes Dave Portnoy, Barstool Sports, admit. How are you doing in this insane world? It's like you're in, but you're doing what I'm doing. It's like this is on in a few, days, but we're looking at news. We're looking at what the hell? Holy shit. And then I want to forget about it. And I'm just telling you, the reason I wanted to talk to you is we met, it was only a year ago.
And feels way longer than that.
It feels like 3 years ago, but it was Stromboli's Pizza.
That's pretty good. Is that actually the name?
Yeah, that's the one. And you gave it a decent rating. I can't remember, but I was there.
And I believe you were there. Yes. No, I remember it.
And I meet a lot of people. You meet a lot of people. And I found you to be just a broadcaster and hilarious. And you told me I'm one of the few guys that you didn't think was a douchebag. And then
I didn't say it that way.
No, I like to say it that way though, because it sounds more mean streets. You know, it sounds more Scorsese. You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, I thought you were very funny. I never met you. I had no idea. But down earth, I felt like if we had met in different circumstances, we maybe would have been friends.
I agree. And by the way the world's gone, we might be. We might end
who
up.
Who knows?
Because we got DNA. I mean, there's people in Russia that didn't live that we our great great grandparents. You know. Watch them beheaded, but that's the happy part of today. But you've been making me laugh so much since that day. I just started following you, and you have to be accepted. So you got millions of people. So you go one by one when someone wants to be.
Oh, you're talking on Instagram.
On Instagram, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, so it's twofold. I used to be public. But what's happened is I'm basically shadow banned on Instagram. They hate me, and they hate me, which is not necessarily true. But at any time, well, I've heard multiple things. So Trump asked me to do an interview, which I did with him.
Right.
In like you know, the wherever, the Rose Garden. But because of that, I can't get new followers. So I have 3 million followers. If I'm not private, I'm lucky to get like 5 new ones. So they've totally shadow banned me. So I go private because if you want to see my stuff, you have to follow me. So when I'm on private, I'll get 5 to 10,000 new followers a day, which is good. I use to promote. If right. I'm public, I get 5. So I do go back and forth because it's easier to find, like you can't show up on their Discover page or anything like that if you're private. So it's kind of like a trade-off, but that's why I do it. And then I have somebody who sits on my team and they just approve. So it's instant, like, well, as instant as it can be. But if you want to be my friend or what, well, my friend, there's someone like confirm.
Yeah, I want the ring that that whistles and the little badge.
Yeah, no, it sucks. I wish I could be. It's crazy. And they change the algorithms and they do all that. But, you know, for my world, it's important. Like I use social media as a way to promote or get people to find out. So,
well, that's how you became what you became. I mean, it's an amazing story. And anybody that doesn't know, well, I'll be saying it in the intro, but you just go to barstoolsports.com and it's an entire array. Some people would think it's just sports and it ain't. It's literally everything.
Yeah. And we've been, you know, a million different things morph, but it basically, we just adapt quickly. And a lot of times people know us and they may not even know how they know us because it could be like through a different name. I mean, we have like a women's podcast, Call Her Daddy, which is gigantic. I mean,
I almost did it. And then I realized what I'd have to say to them. And
well, I've seen some of your stand up.
Yeah. So I was, I'm still on the fence and then they aren't together anymore, but it's still going. Right. Correct.
Yep. So they came out with like the podcast rankings today, Spotify did. And I think like Rogan was their most streamed and she was 5 and she was like the number one group podcast, I guess girls like sororities listen to it together. So it's gigantic. And for a long time, people may not even know that was like Barstool. That was like a podcast. We found them basically before they started. We're like, oh, this is unique. There's not too much out there like this.
Right.
Put them on their platform and then it exploded.
Well, that's what I find interesting, too, is I have to do a new way of doing my kind of stand up, which some people might say like, well, Entourage, you can't do that show now. That's misogynistic, or my stand up might be. But now I have to tee it up very carefully and not because I don't want to hurt anybody. I just say shit that I find funny. And
right.
And what you have to do, the same thing. Now you make an appearance at the White House, but I can't understand. I mean, Instagram has a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans on it, so I can't. You're saying
it's
the ownership
all over. I've heard I have a pretty decent amount of haters for whatever reason. And it could be a lot of it. I've always argued, which, you know, I feel like you're a good judge of character, is I, for whatever reason, a lot of people don't like me, have never seen the comedy side of what we do. So they take some of the things that we've said, which are intended to be funny. And I've used the analogy. It's like if someone walked into a comedy show without a ticket, didn't know who the comedian was, heard a joke, walked outside the comedy club and be like, you'll never believe what this guy said with no context.
It's out of context. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the media, like it gets public. Once it hits somewhere, once it goes through like a million different articles. So, you know, to bring it full circle, I've also heard Instagram has an algorithm that'll just look at the news on you. So if there's negative things, and there are certainly some on me, whatever the case may be, is very strange. I mean, it's mathematically impossible to have as many followers. Not that I have like Kardashian numbers, but if you have 3 million, you should be getting at least like 20 new followers a day just on math.
Right.
And we get nothing.
Well, you should do a sex tape. That's what I'm thinking.
I got 2 of them, Bob.
Oh, are they really out?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I'd look at them, but I don't want to see your ass. Not this time of day.
And not intentionally. It wasn't like, although my dad did ask me. He didn't mention it.
I thought you were going to say it was with your dad. That's not good.
No, that would be gross.
That would be the aristocrats. That would be wrong.
That would be quite disturbing. He didn't mention it to me for about 8 months. And then we sat down and he finally asked, he asked if I leaked it myself, which I did not. It was a very old one. And I'm sure there's more to come. But it was one of those things, you know, I never dreamed.
How could you be sure there's more to come? So a lot of people filmed it or you filmed it and
I didn't hate filming consensual sexual acts.
Right.
I never dreamed when they were being filmed that people would actually care. Like, I wasn't well known. It's like, who the fuck would ever want to watch me have sex?
Right.
Now people kind of do. So, and I know they're all old, all the same time frame. I don't know how they got out. I don't know any of that. But like a celebrity sex guy who like released actually the Kardashian one and all that.
Right.
He, Anna Barstow, is like, I got pitched another one. So it's but once you've seen it once, I don't really care. Like, I actually care for the girl in it more because they don't want it. It's old, but
can he have it taken down legally?
We did. We had them taken down.
Oh, so the girl is she okay? I mean, is she?
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants it. Luckily, as no. I said, I had the foresight. So she picked her head up for a nanosecond. And I put it back in the pillow. So I was being a gentleman. And the head.
See, this is why. How can you have haters if you're such a gentleman?
How gallant is that? I got lucky.
Suave and a boner.
Yeah.
But I actually, I made a couple sex tapes, but it was during my bar mitzvah. And it was with the canner, and it was the only way I could learn my Torah portion.
Yikes.
You know,
yikes.
You do what you can. Now, I just offended three giant groups of people with that one sentence, but I don't mean it. It didn't happen, and my canter never touched me.
If I said that, and I don't know they do that, and maybe it's like, oh, Dave has a chip on his shoulder, I'd say that, and they take out the part where it's like, I just made that up.
Right.
Like, they put that sentence, but it wouldn't have the one that follows. It's like, that didn't happen.
See, the whole problem also is, I mean, you're very sports-oriented. I don't know sports like I should. But I think Barstool Sports came out of, I know you wanted to be a newspaper first. And was it sports-oriented? Was it not?
Yeah, it was gambling and sports to start. And then it really morphed into more like men's lifestyle. And a lot of it, we've always said supposed to be like how guys and it's turned into girls now would talk without like cameras on them. Like, and how I grew up with my friends, we bust balls. We're not very nice to each other. And that's how it is.
Stern did it for you forever. Kind of the master of it.
Right. So a great question, which I know like my favorite TV show of all time is The Office, and Stern's a good example. I remember them saying, Steve Carell saying The Office would never fly now because I go back and I watch the jokes. He's like, he's probably right. Like, because,
but he's a unintentional douche. So even though
real life,
no, the character.
Oh yes. Correct.
Yeah, right. So if that's what's wrong is no one gets irony now, like movies. I talked to Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles. He couldn't make it now. Can't show it. They're not showing it on cable. You can get it. You can, you know, on Apple TV, but I'm very considerate of it too. I mean, I got three daughters. I got an ex-wife. I got a wife not far from here. And she says hi. She's a big fan.
Is she?
Yeah. See, the thing is, you're fucking funny and you're yourself. And I don't know if you get that kind of props enough because you're running a lot of people. So you've got a lot of people that are like, oh, Dave, I don't agree with that. And you're like, well, then get the fuck out. You know, that would be work.
That is true, and that's also, and I appreciate the call, that part of what, and maybe it's a little bit of being naive when we started, but the groups that didn't like me or who would go at me, I didn't really back down. And it was like, oh, you're going to take something I said out of context, I'm going to say something even more out of context, that's like, now our crowd got it and would think it's funny, but then they'd use the more like ridiculous thing I said, and that would become a quote. And it was almost a game of like, can you top this, with me in my mind being so overtly over the top that how can you take it serious? But they were printing it like it was serious. And I just kept going back and forth in things I said when I was working out in my basement with nobody 15 years ago are still being brought up. And it's like the context is totally washed.
I'll read shit about myself. Terrible, terrible things. And they are direct quotes out of a book I wrote, a New York Times bestseller called Dirty Daddy. So people read it and they say, Bob Saget did this, you know, snorted whipped cream cans with Dave Coulier and John Stamos. I know it's chapter 14, you know, so it's like, what the hell? But the moment I met you and we were out on that corner, I knew that you were a broadcaster. You knew exactly how to work a camera. I mean, you're hilarious with camera people. I know recently you had on Instagram and on Twitter and all your stuff that you post, you're you're saying, do you understand? You got to you tilt down to the pizza. You know, you drop the pizza.
Yeah.
And I never saw you like pizza that much. Were you just really hungry?
No, I mean, I've done so much of it. It was pretty good. I mean, I love pizza.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions for you. I mean, a lot, because I'm from Philly, and I lived in New York, and New Jersey's kind of home. So
I've done so much pizza. If we do a celebrity, a lot of times we're trying to find places convenient and close, so the quality of the pizza is not big time paramount. When I'm going by myself into different areas, we're creating a list of places that have been recommended or are supposed to be good. So the scores tend to be higher because we're going to better places. Whereas in New York now, Manhattan, there's not many left. And if we are doing a guest, it's generally convenience, not taste.
And that, and not that I want to dwell on it, but that's so painful that there aren't many left that, you know.
For me to try. I mean, there's a lot of good ones, but I've done so many of them in Manhattan. I mean, New York has great pizza, but they also have a ton of bad pizza because there's so many places.
Yeah, you got to pick the Rays that are actually Rays.
Yeah, well, and Rays is, I wouldn't put Rays at the top quality. I haven't had great
Rays. Well, no, I got a list here, and it says here Monty's.
Oh, so, all right. Well,
Monty's, I got all of it.
I like the homework. Monty's is my hometown pizza. So that was going to be the best score I've ever given before I ever gave it, because it's what I grew up on. It was nostalgia.
Okay. So that doesn't count because that's in Massachusetts.
Correct.
But then
it's good.
And then Frank Pepe also, that's right there too. That's nearby.
Yep. So
that's
New Haven, Connecticut, I would say is the pizza capital of the world. They have Frank Pepe's, Sally's, which I think is better. They have a place called Modern. Those three places are all spectacular.
Right.
And they have a bunch more.
And then you get into Brooklyn. You go to DeFara, and then you go to John's on Bleecker.
Yep. John's Bleecker is Manhattan. DeFara is Brooklyn. Both great. John's of Bleecker is my favorite in Manhattan.
See, that's amazing to me. Now, why have you been going to Philly? Did you want to get out of the city and you have family in Philly?
No. So what happened? I sold, however you want to look at it, Barstool Sports to a casino company about 6 to 8 months ago. Basically what happened, you could only bet on sports in Las Vegas for most of the time. That law was changed fairly recently and it became a state issue. So each state could decide whether they want to allow gambling on sports. That created a huge opportunity for Barstool. That's why we got sold. You cannot legally bet on sports in New York. You can in Pennsylvania. So we have, like, if you're in Pennsylvania, you can go on our app, bet on the Patriots, bet on the Eagles, do whatever you want. To promote it,
if you're betting on the Eagles, you got to sell short.
Yeah, they covered in one of the great backdoor covers of all time last night. But, yeah, they're terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, and I love them. I mean, I'm Philly. I went to Temple. And so when you're going around there, and had you always gone off road and gone cheesesteaks, or was that, or hoagies? That was just
Philly.
Because you were there.
Correct. And as we go to different states, I'll try the local cuisine, but the cheesesteaks I think is probably as identifiable to a region as almost any other food.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. Amoroso roll is the key, right? Amoroso roll is the soft roll. Did you ever find out what kind of bread you were eating on those cheesesteaks?
They always told me that. And that's the key part. But I never heard that word.
I was a deli clerk, so it's been a while. So I didn't know.
Yeah.
So now Philly, you were there for 2 weeks.
I go back and forth a lot. I'd still be on the weekend, but they announced basically the lockdown. It's theoretically illegal to have more people than just not your actual house dwelling. So we're going there live streaming, but we're not supposed to do that. And that's why we stopped, because I'm sure people would have complained saying, look what these guys are doing. They got 10 people in a house in Philadelphia.
I think it's okay if you have cheesesteaks in a church. They allow that. You don't need a mask and you can eat any pizza you want.
Yeah.
See, I have this thing, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but I don't look at if you're a Democrat or Republican. I just don't look at that. I look at people and I get a read on people.
I agree totally. I follow politics. My dad loves it. Like, he'd stay up watching Crossfire. Like, that's his jam.
Right.
And people are also surprised he hates Trump. Like, he freaking hates him. But the thing that drives me nuts about politics is I hate how you know everybody's answer before you even ask them the question based on whether they're Democrat or Republican. And I'm not like that. I've always said you can't put me in a box. Like, what you think I'm going to answer is not going to be based on any political party. You ask me a question, I'll tell you how I feel. And that, unfortunately, you know, I think most people in this country, if you're like, hey, Dave, what politics are? I'd be like libertarian, like financially conservative and socially very liberal. I think that's a normal human. If you actually looked at like my social beliefs, I'm pretty liberal. It's like they make me freaking hate them. It's like the things they say about me. It's like I agree with you. But now I hate you. So I don't know what
to do. You
know
what it is? It's the way it's because of the Massachusetts, it's New York. It's a way of talking that I have an affinity for. I love it. I don't talk like that, but I can. But right. But you're naturally that way, and those are some of my favorite people in the world that talk like that. Why is every Scorsese movie so good? I watched The Last Temptation of Christ that he directed, and I remember I was laughing. Harvey Keitel is in the desert, and I can't remember who he spoke to, but he says, "What's the matter with you? You are a Jew crucifying Jews," and I'm like, "Wait a minute." They're downtown.
Yeah. It's wild. The whole, it's a wild time across the board with every single issue, but it is, you know, it's nuts.
It's gonna go away. I mean, it's not gonna go away. It's not magically gonna go away. And the problems aren't gonna go away. But the relief that you bring, that I'm trying to bring, is the drive that you have. It's a great business. It's a killer business. And you're able to do stuff that some people would call misogynistic. But it's not really, because you got the chicks in the office they're just balls out. I mean, they're really.
I've never apologized, and I will continue.
Have apologized, and I admire you for it. When you called something too early a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and then,
the election. Yeah. Well, I was trying to be first. I like to be first. People are like, oh, you tried to do it. If it was the other way, I was following the gambling odds, actually, because they switched widely. Like, it's over. And I was correct when I called it. But I was wrong. I don't care. It's like, I was totally wrong.
Wait, but you admitted you were wrong. See, that's the thing. You did it right away and you made an announcement. To me, if you wanted Instagram to look at you favorably or to get people to go, hey, I'm not the guy you think I am. And I've done this before and not always successfully, but just, you know how to do it. You know how to not work the media, but you know how to say the truth and go, hey, I know some of you, you could make a stool presidente announcement.
Right. Where
are we now? And maybe that's for 2021, something that you could do how to do it. You know how to do all this shit.
And it's funny because a lot of what I've just come to realize, we've been doing it for a long time. And there was an old article on us, it was New York Times or Wall Street. I think it was New York Times Sunday article. And they did a big feature and they came in through a different way, not through necessarily myself or Barstow. It was like a part of my take, a podcast. And the guy, I could tell right away, very liberal, educated. He didn't like me. But he turned the story into us. And he had a quote in there, which was, I consider a lot of my friends very liberal, highly educated Northeast people. I'm like, do you like Dave? Do you like Barstool? And they're all like, yes, we do. And he's like, I can't understand it because of everything I read. And they're all like, well, we followed him for 15 years, so we know who he is. Like, you know, so there's some people, if I gave them $100 for free, they'd be like, why didn't you give me $1,000? Like, they just don't like me. There's nothing I can do to ever make them like me. But I'm comfortable with who I am in my skin. And if you really dig in at all into who I am in the research, I'm pretty confident. And I'm not only in myself, everybody we hire, but I'm not going to apologize. Like, for, I can't even pronounce the word, which is an ongoing joke. I am not afraid. I don't think it's misogynic to be like, that girl's very pretty. Like, some people will be like, no, you can't say that about a girl.
No. And you have things throughout Barstool, but then both Rhea and Fran, who I've been on a couple times with them, they're just wonderful. They're
awesome.
And they talk girl talk, and they also talk guy talk, and they're young as hell and smart. They're really cool ladies, but yet you call it chicks in the office, which people would go, oh, that's it. You know, you're dehumanizing them. But it's like, it's almost retro. It's not meant to do anything because it's their show and they run the damn thing.
They can do whatever they want with it. And it actually, was a joke, and they're we would never name. They get to name everything they want, but that, and it's a lot of people don't know the backstory. Like, we used to be guys. We were like 10 guys, and we're all like, in the beginning, I was fat, gross, not that I'm great now, but we never left. We worked, and when a girl walked into the office, it was like a big event, and everyone would be like, "Chicks in the office, chicks in the office," trying right. to like. Look good. So that became, and then as we grew, we actually started hiring women. It's like, oh, we actually have chicks in the office. And that's where it came from. It was kind of like a play on an old joke. But again, using the out of context, me and Rhea have one of the great blow-ups in the history of Barstool. And if you Googled it, the headline would say Dave Portnoy tells like 20-year-old employee she'll be too ugly to be on camera in 5 years. Essentially, and this was Rhea, who I'm very close with. Essentially, we have one of my first employees is a guy named Hank, and Hank did everything with us. And when I say Barstool aged him, he was 22. He looked like he was 50. So we had a joke. Hey, Hank, you're aging in dog years, man. Like, you're getting so old.
Does he have bad health, or he just?
No, it's just he. Like, we were very small. We worked 7 days a week. He was going to the Super Bowl final. He was just doing things no 21-year-old should do. We snuck him through a bar, and the first time he had a shot at tequila was trying to tell, I think, Wendy's what they should do with their menu, like the CEO of Wendy's. He was just living a life nobody young.
Right.
He ended up dating Rhea, and Rhea worked for us as well. Well, what happened, Rhea's sister got engaged, and they were dating for a shorter amount of time than Hank. So we called him in live radio, like, Hank, do you feel the pressure? Like, they got engaged. You've been dating far longer. He's like, no, I'm still young. It's like, no, you're not. You may be 24 here, but you're really 50.
You look like you're going to die.
And, right. And it's like, by the way, same thing with Rhea. She's aging way faster because she works here. But she'll be too ugly to be on.
She's small. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, but we were talking about the aging thing in that quote gets
and then you
the
make
main
a joke about it, right?
Correct. And then it's like,
she's just gonna get prettier. She's an adorable girl.
Anybody, Rhea's looks are beyond reproach. She's a gorgeous girl,
right?
They're dating. It's like an office romance. So if I read that headline without any context, CEO tells 20-year-old employee too ugly, I'd be, that guy's Hitler. So I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh man, I also really enjoy going on with KFC, Kevin and Feidelberg.
Yep, KFC Radio.
Yeah, and Feidelberg is, I find him really, they're both really great guys, and they've been so, you know, I've been on a bunch of times since we met each other.
Yep.
And Feidelberg does like movie reviews. He's doing what normally back in the day wouldn't be done by a guy that talks like this, The thing I didn't like about The Undoing was that why is Nicole Kidman walking around all night? You know,
right?
He like
the old
like
Siskel and Ebert type stuff. Yeah,
yeah, but it's in his voice. So that comes from you. I mean, it all trickles down from the top of how you allow people to do the thing.
We look for talented people, and then they can really do whatever they want. I mean, people are like, "Oh, Dave, you knew this Kevin." To his credit, he was the first one. I didn't even know what a podcast was when he started, and I was like, "Knock yourself out!" But you're like wasting your time. And now it's obviously such a huge industry.
And he's smart too. You got a lot of smart people. And then I walked around the bullpen of your place, which was in its own way kind of like the scene, the set of The Office, and yet it's a lot of people just doing hard work at their computer. And then there's little studio setups in different places. That's all shut down now, right? Everybody's
We're still in here. I'm in the office right now. We're at like 30%, but like the people who are creating content are still in here. So it is what it is. We're open.
Well, Barstool is an essential business.
I would like to think so. I've already had it twice, so I don't know if you can have it three times.
So I'm going to take a quick break. Watch this. You'll love this. This is how all breaks should be. We'll be right back with Dave Portnoy. All right, we're back. So that was exhausting. The pizza stuff, one bite, that was like started in just like a few years ago, right? That wasn't your roots, was it?
No, I mean, Barstool has been around for like almost 17, 18 years. The
right.
pizza probably like 4 or 5 years old. It started while I was still in Boston, and a Chicago guy, Big Cat, who's super popular, we got in a debate. If you could only eat one food the rest of your life, what would you be? Only meal you could have. I said pizza. He said burritos. And we basically did it. So we did it for like a month. So I was just eating pizza, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And I was like, oh, I might as well rate it since I'm doing it. So I take a bite and just be like, one bite, rate it. And whatever reason, it's pizza. I could tell there was something there. And then when we relocated from Boston to New York, I kind of just mentioned, like, I'll try every place in New York now that I'm here. And right away, I'm sure you're the same way with like comedy or whatever. You kind of feel when something like grabs people, and it grabbed people for whatever reason. I've heard multiple things. I've heard people say New Yorkers, it gives you a very real vibe of New York streets and city life, because, you know, people see a camera in New York and they come right up and they want to be part of it.
It made me feel home. I mean, it really does. And the way you approached it, the first time I saw it was obviously not when I did it. I had seen it for, I think, about a year before, maybe a little more. And the first time I watched it, I just laughed out loud. It was like a comedy premise, but it wasn't, because you were completely serious about it. And you know pizza. So pizza was kind of your main thing as a young person in
Boston. No, I mean, I love pizza, but it's a very, very basic. It's like, I can't explain it in great detail. I mean, I've eaten a ton of it. So if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. I think the combination of the people in the streets getting involved, and I was giving very real scores. So
yeah, you know, when it's stamped on there, there's suspense, and you're whoever produces it, I'm sure you do, but then you've got people that are cutting this. Yeah. I'm waiting to see, and my wife and I were just guessing. Oh, it's going to be an 8.1, and then it was a 7.7, I think, and then he picked it up off the ground, so you gave him an extra 0.1.
Yeah, I never do that, but I felt bad because he cleaned it up. So, yeah, people guess
it. And it was surprisingly good, because you ate the whole thing. I've never seen you eat. Have you eaten a whole slice a lot?
I have to really like it, and then I'll continue to eat it. I'm getting that age. I don't work out, so it's like pounding pizza every day for lunch isn't the best. But, yeah, that was good. I like it crispy, and that type of pizza usually isn't.
Yeah, because it would be floppy normally.
Correct. It usually is that like style, the wood fired. So it was good. And the guy, actually, the chef came out. He confirmed. He's like, yeah, I cook it a little differently to get that.
And he was cool about it. It wasn't like a setup, because some of them kiss your ass because they're hoping for a great review, because your reviews actually mean something.
It means a lot. It's,
yeah, it's crazy.
I am the most influential pizza reviewer. I mean, now almost everyone recognizes me when I walk in. A lot of times they'll redo it. But we can We can change a business. It's been an unexpected, even during COVID, I was doing the frozen pizza.
Yeah. And I watched all of it. You cut yourself with a box cutter.
I don't know if you can see it. There's a pretty good like scar on my hand there. Like that scar right there. Yeah, that's never going away.
That's the real deal. Did you go to an ER for that?
No. I don't even know. I just wrapped it and went. I was getting swords, samurai swords, box cutters.
Yeah, you got a little. It looked like you were going through the normal KG Quarantino shit.
I was. That the unboxing was. It takes a lot for me to be depressed. I was sort of depressed during that time because my life got taken over. I had nowhere to go. I got all these things sent to me. It would take me 5 hours to do. I do the live stream, unbox it. Then I'd need professional cleaners in the morning, and they'd spend all day cleaning. And as they were cleaning, the boxes would arrive. And then by the time I cleaned the place, it was time to open them again. People started sending ridiculous stuff to me because they wanted to get a reaction. Cockroaches, dead fish head. So, you know, I was opening things like literally nervous, like what's going to jump out at my face right now?
Right. Their brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the head on a stick. Did you have a deep freezer? Did you have one delivered so you could keep them in there?
Somebody sent me a huge freezer.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So
and
I had
then
all the
you
pieces.
Were you were like shirtless wandering around, and then about a month later, is that you got COVID? Is that accurate?
Sure. The shirtless part.
Yeah, you were shirtless a couple times at your lowest moments. After the cut.
Yeah, I don't
miss this. I laugh out loud at your stuff, and it makes me want pizza, which is insane.
Yeah, well, the shirtless during the unboxing, I was trying to help do my small part with small business. So that's what it became. So people are sending like merch. I keep taking different companies' shirts and hats and whatever it may be right. to promote it. So that's shirtless. Yeah, I think I got COVID twice. I think I got it in March.
How can that be? I'm told you can't get it twice, and then I
would bet my life you can. There are some documented cases, but I got sick in March like I'd never been sick before. And I don't mean that like I was violently ill, but I generally get sick the same exact way. It goes through the same cycle. This time I was exhausted, wiped out, and sore. Like, and that's what people are saying, achy. I never lost smell, but I didn't get out of bed and just sweat for like 48 hours, super achy, went away. And then in August, the same exact symptoms, I got tested and I did have it. And it was the same exact cold. I mean, the same.
Was it more
tired.
In your lungs and in your throat, or was it cold, like a flu?
No, it was like, I was just exhausted. I didn't want to move. It almost, it was as tired as I've ever been, but I never was like, oh, I can't breathe or I'm in danger. I was just wiped out and I was achy.
Did you have you ever had pneumonia?
No.
I've had pneumonia and I didn't know I had it. I was on tour. I just kept going, you know, walking pneumonia, they call it. But I had basically pneumonia and I had constant aches, constant everything. But I didn't have any bat juice in my blood.
Yeah, so. No, who knows? Everyone says different. Like the girl who told me to get tested, she lost smell and taste. I always had it.
But you can't afford to lose that.
That would be killer business. Yeah.
That's a tenth of your work is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go out and go, what's this taste like? Have somebody there.
I mean, and so I've heard people say you don't get it back for like 6-8 months or whatever. So who knows?
Yeah. And there goes your sex life. Well, are you able to have one now?
Me?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I be?
Because maybe people are afraid of exposure or whatever.
No, I just don't bring the camera out.
Yeah. You got to not bring the camera out again.
Correct.
You could have a courtroom artist there and then you've already got the shit that they could use on trial.
That I'm sure would go over well with any young lady. Oh, who's that? It's just the court artist. Don't mind him. He's just going to like do a quick drawing here.
Now, if you have someone come over to your place, do they wear a mask throughout the exercise?
No, in my house, you don't need to wear the mask.
Well, you've had it twice. So
I've had it twice. Correct.
So they're not going to get it from you and you're not going to get it from them. Probably. You don't know if you can get it three times.
You would think not. I was in Miami. I've been amongst people. I travel still and I haven't re-got it. So I do think my immunity is like, I wish I could say somehow, like I already had it. I can't give it to you because I'm just wearing the mask now because of peer pressure, because I don't think I can give it or get it because I've had it, but I still wear the mask.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's a political thing. But it is something that people have. I know people that have gotten it. Now, the question is, would they have gotten it with a mask or not anyway?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, even the political people, like, it's not political when you say, like, if you're a politician, you should probably follow your own advice. Like, that is not political. That's just like, don't be an asshole. Like,
no, we've experienced that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to take advice from someone that's right in your face doing something.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been really hard, but then the cases go up a lot, and then you go, well, who's dying and how sick are people getting them? But then, I mean, we're definitely going to turn the corner on this thing. It is lightning speed that we're that close to getting a vaccine out there, but will everybody take it? Will you take the vaccine?
Oh, I would definitely take it.
Can you put it in pizzas? To me, that's major merch. If you could sell a pizza with a vaccine in it.
I would do it. I mean, I don't understand. Again, it's not, if you say this thing helps, I'll do it. It's like, that's another thing because I go on the rant. I do think at this point, people should be allowed. Like, I feel bad for restaurants, small businesses who don't have a say in their future. But I've also said you should wear a mask.
I agree. I believe you should wear a mask. I was on a plane recently and during when I'm told not to fly. And my wife and I were very safe. We were, I got these really large condoms and we just literally put our completely, like Howie Mandel's old act, we were completely inside it.
Well, that's very safe of you.
Yeah, it fit both of us. And also I had my sperm tested. That's what I call it anyway.
Just to see.
Yeah, just to see if I had any swimmers. Because I did have a vasectomy at one point. Have you ever thought of that? Or do you want to have kids?
I haven't thought about that. No, I have no kids. I wouldn't rule out kids, but I have none. I'm also like selfish.
Well, that's attractive to some people these days, because some people don't, people are afraid to bring up kids in the world we're in now.
Yeah.
But it'd be so cool if you had a son with you and you go to a pizza place and you go, what do you think, son? And
can I give him to somebody else till he's 12?
Well, he might be an asshole by then. He would need you to discipline him. Not I don't the baby, to... you the baby times you're not going to do well. You're not going to do well. That, with
and, the... and as far I'm no expert, but the only way to get to the past baby times is to go through the baby times. So if I can figure that section out,
and he'll like you better, or she will like you better if they sense that you were there when they were an infant,
right?
Although
right.
Some people adopt a 7-year-old kid. So basically that's what you want to do. You want to use your seed to make a child, get rid of the kid for 7-8 years, then take it when you're ready to tolerate that person.
Like maybe when he's ready, if it's a boy, like as far as Little League at bat, that would be cool.
So you can do sports with him. You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like someone else just raise him. And then when he's ready, his first at bat, I'll just show up and be like, hey, son.
Now, did you play sports with your dad?
I did. Yeah, he was terrible. He was really bad, but I did. I didn't realize he was bad till I was older, but he was bad.
And I know we talked about this earlier, but I just want to be clear. You did do your first sex tape with your dad.
No, that let me say this loud and unequivocally. I did not. It was a woman I was not related to.
That's even better. Wow. That's a lot of people with quarantine, they're going right to the family. They don't even care anymore.
No, this was pre-quarantine. And again, it was what people say, consensual, non-related sex.
That is so cool. Because, you know, with what's going on right now, a lot of families are getting closer than they should. They come over for just some, you know, chickpea salad. I don't think they serve that.
Let me again put that on the record because you keep going back to it.
That was just a joke.
My situation.
Say again. I want this
not
to be
my situation. My family, that my dad lives in one place, I live in another. We have never had any relations.
No. And is your mom with your dad?
She is.
And that's good then. So you're close with your parents?
You'd have to ask them if that's good. I think it depends on when you catch either of them, whether they say that was good. But yeah, they're still married.
Okay. So you come from a Jewish family. So do I. My parents were married for 63 years. They argued a lot. They loved each other a lot. They weren't going to ever split up, but it was like a Neil Simon play. It was like constant dialogue.
Yeah. And I can describe my family in this story that'll take 2 minutes. Are you familiar with Legal Seafoods in like Massachusetts?
Very much so. Yeah. Even at the airport on the way out when I got to grab the chowder.
My parents love it. So they went, my dad got the salmon and it said the salmon came with rice pilaf. All right. They were out of rice pilaf. So they gave them white rice. They eat it. They don't say anything. 2 days later, my mother calls Legal Seafood to complain about 2 days before saying, you know, we were at your place 2 days before. My husband got the salmon with rice pilaf and it came with white rice. Imagine fielding that call 2 days after the fact. That's all you need to know about my parents.
So it had to brew. They had to really talk about it.
They sat around for 2 days talking about how he got the white rice instead of the pilaf. And, you know, I think they got a free like meal out of it.
They had to. I mean, it escalated, so it had to be real.
Yeah.
I have a horrible story like that. One of my relatives, of course, none of them are alive anymore. But they wanted to go for all the prime rib you can eat. And it was like 12 of us or 14 of us. And it was $5.99 near LAX, near the airport. And so I'm going like, oh, please. And it's like in a hotel that's not even not even part of a chain. It's just, it's like used to be a Holiday Inn and now it was just the end of the world. So we go into their banquet room and this one guy, a nice man, Dave Vogel, and he sat there and he had a hearing aid so he couldn't hear. He ordered the prime rib and they brought everybody's food but his. They didn't bring his food. So here he's sitting there. He's sitting there for like 20 minutes, not saying a word. You can imagine. I mean, your parents waited 2 days.
Yeah,
this guy, this is happening in live time. And then finally, someone said, oh, by the way, he didn't get his meal because the service was awesome.
Yeah.
And they finally bring it to him, and he just busted. His brain just went off, and he started screaming, "I don't want it. I don't want it." And just went fucking nuts. He screamed, "I don't want it," like 10 times. We're like, "Please quiet down." And then he literally, we all finished, and we had our $5.99 dinner, and he never ate dinner. He refused on the principle alone.
Man of principle. Yeah, my parents are very traditional Jewish. Like my dad, he tries to get like his hamburger like cooked a certain way at McDonald's or something. I mean,
was with Food Fair, Pantry Pride supermarkets. So I don't know if you remember that. I think you're too young, but your dad would know. Your dad would know because it was up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And they got bought out by Revlon, and they fired 3,000 people. And my dad would go into a restaurant, and it was a 20-minute order of how you got to cook the meat. And then he would ask for an end cut. They would say they didn't have one. He'd go in the kitchen. He said, "I wanted an end cut." The guy said, "We don't have one, chef." My dad says, "There it is right there." He points at it. The guy picks up a hatchet and says, "Get the fuck out of my kitchen." And then my dad comes over to the table and goes, "We're leaving." I had bread.
I don't think my dad would venture in, but he's very particular and doesn't, kind of like what you said with the, like, you know, the $5 prime rib, can't differentiate between a 5-star and, like, you know, getting food at a stadium. He expects it all to be a certain way.
Do you have brothers or sisters?
One sister, older.
Where is she?
She's in Massachusetts. I have a niece and a nephew.
Oh, that's nice. Do you get along with them?
Yeah.
But enough to know that you don't want a kid.
No, they haven't made me not want kids, but they haven't made me want kids.
I feel bad for you right now because you're so... You can get taken out of context. You got to actually be very clear because I'm not going to fuck you up. You know,
I'll say worse shit. They haven't made me or not. I'm neutral on them.
Now, my wife is half Sicilian, so she would eat pizza every day, and she's thin. And I'm trying to watch myself because I'm old already. You know, I'm in my 60s. I can't go eat pizza every day, and then, you know, it's carbs. It does go to your gut, but you still want it. Do you ever see a point where you would not be eating pizza?
I mean, it's a very real issue because I don't work out. I'm 43, so I am in that age where it's like, you know, eating counts. I love it.
You look good, though. You're in good shape.
Yeah, but I'm right on that edge. I gotta start working. I used to work out. I haven't. I go back and forth. If I was like happily married and didn't have a sex drive, what else is there to do except eat? That's the whole only thing to look forward to. So then I wouldn't care. I still would rather like look attractive because I am still interested in meeting girls or whatnot. So that's the only thing that stops me from eating more. But who doesn't like to eat?
I submit that my wife, I don't look at as somebody that I can get fat around, and she's very.
I've seen the pictures. I tend to agree with that.
So I wish for you, and she's a foodie, and that's what she does for a living. I mean, she produces commercials and stuff for food, and she's really, really smart at it. And she loves Italian food, so she could eat pasta every day and pizza. But I love pizza, but man, it just turns to fucking fat.
No, I mean, there's no way around that one. I mean, pasta, anything good is probably not good for you.
I guess, yeah. And they're also saying that if you, I just read a study, people can read anything that backs up.
Like,
yeah, yes. It's like the what's that movie, The Social Dilemma, right?
Yeah.
It's like whatever your algorithms are, whatever you search is what you'll get. So I read something that said that vegans have a more of a tendency to have broken bones than people that eat meat and protein.
There's literally everything. I mean, it's the red wine's good for you. Right. The guy who smokes, who's 110 years old. So I do know if you eat a lot of carbs, you're going to get flabby. That I don't think I need any like confirmation on.
No, I agree. And sugar.
Yeah.
And the normal shit. And booze is not that good. But I still drink. How about you?
Casually. I mean, it's another thing. If I wasn't, I could have like a bottle of wine every night, like, and be very happy. But that also is
not going to do great things. So I just can't get into it because then you get the craving. So I'll drink when I'm out. It's not like, oh, I don't drink. Every time I go out, I'm drinking, but it's not, I'm not sitting around at my house now drinking if I'm not drinking.
Yeah, same. I'm actually not drinking right now because I'm good. So now you've had some stuff that was newsworthy, but for the most part, you're just plowing ahead at this company full time. And so what other things can you tell me about, as people are listening because they're fans of yours? People aren't listening to this because they're not fans of yours. That's the thing.
So you're saying, say something that people don't know?
Well, what's Barstool got? Is there something you're going to branch out? I mean, you guys could pretty much do anything. You could do a show. You could do a show for Netflix. You could do a movie. You could do a bunch of stuff. I mean,
I think we're talking about a show. I don't know that it'll happen. I've been heavy in like the finance stuff lately. That's kind of a COVID thing, like day trading and whatnot.
Right.
But you never know. Like people always ask, what are we going to do next? Or, you know, what's the next 2 years look like? And I have no idea. I didn't know TikTok was going to be around a year ago. I do a podcast with this 18-year-old. Like we did the podcast today.
Right.
Because we had this bit where we just put a famous person on the screen. I didn't know any of his, and he didn't know any of my, he didn't know who like Bono was from U2. It's crazy.
That's fucked up though. Because no matter what age, I knew everybody that came before. So when I was 10, I knew who Buddy Holly was, you know, and I.
Well, aren't you la-di-da-da? He didn't.
I'm very foo-foo. We're going to take one more last break. This is the last break. I hope it's for pizza. I mean, I don't know.
That'd be a good fit.
It would be perfect. All right, we're just back. And so I just see so many good things coming for you. I just, because you're, every time I watch a pizza review alone, it's just entertaining as hell. And you, I mean, because you're the boss, and I know you have people that own the company also, do you realize that what you did was really good? Do you finish a segment and go, damn it, that was, I like, keep that in.
Well, I know when I have a good pizza review. And a lot of times, though, it's outside of my control. It's whether it be a guest or it's just you hit it right where somebody unique wanders into it. And we've had now, you know, guests like Uber Debbie, who people love. And this was a woman who just stumbled into our lives. Purely Patricia is another one. So that, it almost always is outside of my control, but I know when we have one. Like we did one the other day, it hasn't aired. And I went into it and I said to the camera, I go, that place, I felt like I just stepped out of a time warp. It was so old and everything was like unique. And I went in just off the top. I'm like, I was like, we have to talk to these people. It turned out they had a goat farm in the back where if you order a pizza, you can wait and pet goats while the pizza. People will love that one. So they like when the stories, the unique characters, it's not so much me. Mine get, it's the people around me. So that's when I know, okay, this one will be good.
That's why I think there's like a Netflix show or a cable show of some sort in there or some streamer show. I mean, you are doing shows. Every episode, I mean, three of your episodes is a show, you know.
It's crazy because I've thought the same thing. And it's almost sometimes like whether it be an executive, whatever, they don't see it and they don't get how popular it is. Because I've thought the same thing and they don't see it. And I know how it millions of people across all our platforms watch it every day and it's consistent and you know what you're getting. There's something comforting and food shows clearly work, but for whatever reason, we've never been.
I think you'll get that call because, I mean, you go around the world. This stuff's your broadcast, everything you do online, the whole world sees it. That with
maybe
just Netflix. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they got Instagram and they're following you.
Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And pizza's universal. It's just one of those universal, like, it's probably the number one food. Just everyone everywhere has an opinion about it.
Yeah, yeah. So now I want to talk to you about cheesesteaks for one more second, because I did you try Jim's while you were there in Philly?
I haven't. Is that
That's not the king of. No, that's Steve's. I have not
done that's Jim's. Steve's. And you did Gino's and Pat's, right?
I did them a long time ago. I haven't done them because I already know what people are going to say. Everyone said it.
Yeah.
They're like, they're not that good. They're the tourist trap ones.
Yeah.
But they're like, if you want to go at like 3 a.m. to get kind of like a shitty fast food cheesesteak, it's very Philly. But I went to the ones that people were saying were the best. So, and nobody says Pat's and Gino's are the best.
Right. Tell me the best one again.
Angelo's. Spectacular.
And that's
Angelo's is the best pizza and cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. It's really not even close in my mind.
Is that in South Philly?
Yes.
Okay, Angelo's. That's well, it's not hard. The world is at a place now where we just go, you know, Angelo's, Google it, and then it just goes.
Well, I know it took about 10 minutes to get there from Center City.
Yeah. The best cheesesteak that I'd had was not with Cheese Whiz. It was with, I guess, provolone they did on me.
Sharp something. None of the ones that have been good have put the Cheese Whiz on it. John's Roast Pork, excellent cheesesteak. There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah. And I was at the Four Seasons, not the fertilizer place.
It was actually a place in Philly, Barclay Prime. They have like $150 cheesesteak. It's spectacular, but it's $150.
Well, what is it? Is it Kobe or something?
Yeah, very fancy cheeses, very fancy meat. It's spectacular. It's heavy, but it's spectacular. But it should be for that price.
I want to go to Philly. I want to go. I had a whole tour. I was supposed to be everywhere. I would have seen you. I would have been in New York. Next time I come back, I'm going to get a hold of you, and we can go do something that you would do in normal life.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Because it's just, I can't wait
for you to be my court sketch guy.
I will. That's your quote.
Yeah.
But but I won't add anything to it because it's so long ago.
Do something normal. You're like, do something normal. All right. Well,
I'll be your court sketch guy while you're doing whatever. So now, I mean, I think you're going to find somebody. And I don't know. I never thought I'd get married again. I was divorced for 23 years. And we were only married 14, but we met when we were 16 in Philly. And then we had three kids, and then I've been divorced since I was like 42, and I got married 2 years ago. So I wasn't like looking to be married. Right. I needed to find a person.
Yeah. So I mean, I was married, and she's still like my best friend, actually. And,
right.
You know, I at this point, my life has taken so many twists and turns I never could have predicted. I just, as simple as it is, just like day at a time, and I'm not looking, I wouldn't be opposed, but whatever comes my way, I just kind of deal with it.
Do you get more offers all the time for somebody to buy Barstool again?
No, because
we just got acquired again, right?
Yeah, so I sold it twice. I sold half of it like 5 years ago, and then we sold the remaining portion about a year ago. So technically, I don't own any of Barstool. I got a lot of the company that bought us, Penn National Gaming, I got a lot of their stock. But again, I started Barstool, honestly. If I made 60 grand a year doing something I enjoyed, I would have been happy as a clam. Like, that's what I wanted to do. It's been more successful than I ever dreamed. I have more. It's been a fairy tale run. It really has.
Well, you're probably more needed now than ever, to be honest with you. All the programming that comes out of you guys, I mean, where else are people getting it? They're watching their streaming shows. If you watch the news too much, you'll get a disease.
Yeah.
One that hasn't been invented yet, you know, it's just mental.
And we're one of the few places, I think, just because, you know, we still can be fairly true to ourselves. So make people laugh. We're not worried about advertising too much. So we've kept that thread of who we've always been. And that's good.
Well, there's a homespun thing to it, too. I mean, 20% off on merch. I'm like, holy shit, what merch? And then I know, because I have a Barstool sweatshirt, it's a really good sweatshirt.
Yeah, and we sell a shit ton of merch. It's always been I tweet that out. The fact that our fans buy our merch allows us to not basically have to be dictated. Because if you're dependent on advertising revenue, they sway in the breeze on public opinion and you're shifting to try to keep them happy.
Right.
Our merch and direct revenue from our customers, much like I'm sure comedians selling venues and whatnot, that's what lets us be us.
And how much do you go through? I mean, if you're selling sweatshirts and t-shirts, and they go to her online store.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, on,
we tens of millions of dollars in merch.
That's insane. So now, yeah. Do your investors get that?
Yeah, I don't get it. I used to. I don't know if the investors get it. It goes to the company.
Do you want to re-up so then you get more, or do you like the stock? You're happy with that?
So I signed a five-year deal when I did it to work for 5 years. I got a lot of stock. The stock's been treated great. But, you know, my net worth is probably not as much as yours, but it's fairly accurate on, like, those things. It's like $100 million. I mean, what am I going to do with that? So I don't, you know, I've done better than I've ever dreamed. I like to remind people that, just to, one of my haters, like, I have that, you don't, so.
Well, also, if you're happy, you know, if you're happy with your life, and it seems that you are, it seems, yeah, you have aggravation, you have shit because your mind does what it does. My mind does what it does. So when things could be great, I'm not always the happiest because I'm neurotic or I'm angry over something that I shouldn't be.
Yeah, you'll probably agree. The greatest, see, I had a normal 9-to-5. The greatest thing I can say, or the strongest that makes me happy, I don't care whether it's Saturday or Wednesday. And if you can get to that point, you don't have too much to complain about.
That's correct. Yeah. And during quarantine, no one knows if it's Saturday or Wednesday.
No.
I mean,
no.
I literally talk to people and I go, is this Sunday? And they go, no.
Forget what month it is.
Yeah. Well, we're going to know what month it is because I think once this virus thing is under control and people can be healthy and we can get out and people can start to get their businesses back, I mean, it's going to be kind of a incredibly difficult climb, but I think it's going to be very inspiring. I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because at this point, you're almost used to putting on a mask and it's just surreal. It's like a horror movie coming to life. I'm sure everyone says, like, you were in a coma and you woke up and started, like, what is going on? I mean, it's unfathomable.
No, it is. Years ago, there was a futuristic movie called The Andromeda Strain, which was a book, and it was about a virus that got out. And I expected, because I'm a neurotic cynic, that there was going to be germ warfare. They're going to do something to the water, or they're going to do an airborne thing, because I saw Outbreak, and they're all in a movie theater. Do you remember Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah.
So they follow a ball of phlegm. The point of view of a ball of phlegm goes, laughs out of someone's mouth, goes in a circle, and then goes back into someone else's mouth who's wide open. That's basically the best PSA for masks, that scene. Yeah. If you show that, you go, well, I don't want that Luger in my mouth, but, you know.
And to be honest, it's like mask this, that. I always say, it's like, listen, there's 0.00001% chance it can help get rid of this thing. Like, who doesn't want to get rid of it? Like,
yeah. Well, some people that don't believe in it, that's fucked up. You got to believe in it. But then I was watching how it started and we're just finding out about China. But what? We knew about China.
Who knows?
It's fucking vampires made it. I mean, who knew that? I mean, who would eat a wet bat? I mean, you'll go eat a piece of pizza. Would you go into a wet market and try their bat?
No, I'm not in the wet bat market. I'm not in the wet bat, but who knows? If it's maybe if you grow up on wet bat, you're like, oh, that looks like a great wet bat. That would not be my cup.
It's like octopus, but it's not. It's a rodent. I mean, it's a...
But if you didn't know octopus was edible and you just saw an octopus, you'd be like, I'm not fucking eating that. I mean,
that's
those
true.
Are pretty gnarly looking guys.
Or jellyfish in a sushi bar, you'll have that. Yeah, that's the thing that gives you
gross-looking things. That's like octopus being top of the fucking list.
I like that it has puss in the name.
Oh, there you go.
That's how I get canceled again. I canceled myself just to make you look good. Well, I want to thank you. You're really a good guy.
Well, I appreciate the invite. You're one of the only, maybe the only, which I appreciate, a handwritten thank you note for the pizza review. So that was very nice, and I was glad to do it. I was actually flattered that you asked.
Well, you're really doing something great, and you're entertaining a lot of people. And you're not...
You should get canceled for saying that.
I'm all good with that. Just that'll be the quote. That'll be the soundbite we use for the thing. But you're doing, you're entertaining people. You're still not coming out with political statements in your product. You're doing what people do when they make a TV show or a movie. You know, you're approaching it exactly the same way. I just think,
and anybody, my thing is anybody who pays any attention to us more than just reading a headline or just is actually like, let me see what these people, me, our Barstool is about. They, unless you are dement, you'd see that. You'd be like, they're just trying to be funny. There's no agenda. They're not trying to be mean. They're just trying to entertain.
No, it's the next evolution of why podcasts are so popular, of why drive radio used to be so popular, you know, free radio, which still is in some places where people don't want to subscribe to podcasts, even though they're free. But, and everything you do is basically free. It's the selling of it that is, you know, if you're buying product, if you're buying merch or something, otherwise they just go to Barstool Sports everywhere and barstoolsports.com and everything's listed there, right?
Yep, you can find it all.
Well, I'll be back in, and I'm looking forward to coming back into the offices and just bothering everyone.
Always welcome.
Well, thank you. What are you going to do now?
What time is it? Go home. It's 5. Watch some college basketball, walk home.
Oh, you were screaming. What were you upset about? What was it? I couldn't figure it out. You were going 2.
Last night?
Yes. What was that? You were going 2. What the fuck is 2? 2. And you fell off your chair and you got back up.
It was Monday Night Football. I bet on the Seahawks. They were 6.5-point favorites. They dominated the entire game. The Eagles threw a Hail Mary to end the game for a touchdown. They were losing by 14. It should have cut it to 7, and they went for 2 to make it a 6-point game. So I lost it all. Tragedy.
So the drama comes out of the fact that you have an investment in this when you're watching a game. So usually when you're watching a game, you have an investment in it.
Unless it's the Patriots. I'm a diehard Patriots, but if it's otherwise, yes. I like that. It's a very fancy word to say bet on. Yes, I have an investment.
So you love gambling. You just love it.
Yep.
So it makes sense for Barstool to be.
So that's how it started. The company started as a gambling rag, and we had lots of people who loved to gamble who followed it. And then when they changed the law, it's basically a gold rush for all these companies. They have to get clients. They have to get customers. So we were in the right spot, right time, because we had grown. It's like, oh, look at Barstool. All these people who read it, enjoy it. A lot of them like to gamble. Instead of spending, you know, infinite amount on advertising, why don't we just buy them? That's basically what happened.
Good. And do you find during 2020, because this has been such a shit show of a year, that a lot of your algorithms have gone way up, that you've got more listeners on almost every one of your platforms?
Yeah, we've definitely grown. And we've morphed. We've been good. But if people are trapped in the houses, they're looking for more unique ways to find content. And, you know, we've been able to do that. So it has weirdly grown our audience.
I have one last question that I would be thinking about. Have you ever wanted to come out with your own pizza? The Barstool frozen pizza. And when are you going to do it?
I tasted some today. So weird.
So am I right there in the zeitgeist of what you're doing?
You're right there.
So you want to do what Paul Newman did, which was not die. And he shouldn't have.
And not give it all to charity.
Anyway, I don't think he gave all, but he was a hell of a man.
Isn't, though, every Newman, I thought all Newman products, like 100% goes to charity.
I don't think it's 100, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot.
Maybe when I'm dead, everything that I've ever done, when I'm dead, can go to charity.
Well, you'll see if you get that 7-year-old kid after you've had it in the lab, then you have it when it's 7 or 8, then it shows up. You're going to have to leave that kid something.
That's true.
Unless he's a prick. In that case, or if it's a little girl, you'll be wrapped.
If he's a prick, I'm not taking him back.
You send him off to wherever Oliver went. But like I have 3 daughters. I'm dead in the water. I'll do anything they want. You know, I'm just, you love your kids. But so this would be a pizza in stores, frozen pizza, Barstool pizzas. And you'd make like 3 of them, 3 kinds.
Yeah, they actually said you got to do 4. So it would be cheese, pepperoni, meat lovers, and I forget what the 4th was. Supreme.
With everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, do you have a piece of that, or does that go to the company also?
That I would get a piece of.
That's, see, this is why I asked, because this is going to be the thing. And do you know exactly, would you go to some of the people that you've been doing reviews of to get them to help you with the crust, to get everything just right?
We have a good group. The issue is, and there'll be far better frozen pizza than what we'd offer, because when you have to mass produce it to truly be like nationwide in supermarkets, you can't, like, the best frozen pizzas, they're all factory sealed. So the second they're made, they're factory sealed, but you can't keep up with demand. Like the ones that I even reviewed in quarantine, if people order them, they were getting them months later. So there's a reason why frozen pizza is frozen pizza. It's a good frozen pizza. I wouldn't say it's going to blow your dick off frozen pizza. It's good, and I'm happy to put my name on it, but you just can't. You can't make a frozen pizza that is any competition to a true pizzeria. It just doesn't exist.
Well, the ones I've had that are better are like vacuum packed. They don't have loose plastic. Paul Newman's loose plastic.
I think Paul Newman's is pretty good.
It is good, actually. The pepperoni.
Yeah. That's as good as their, I mean, that was one of the high, but even that doesn't compare to the actual pizzerias who are making them in vacuum sealing them instantly.
Then that would be what you're doing? You're going to vacuum seal them?
No, we can't do that. We're going to do mass produce. They'll have the plastic, but it'll be our own unique recipe. I would say it's like going to be like a 7-1. That'll be like the ranking on the scale.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
For frozen. And then
Frozen's good.
What about deep dished? I didn't ask you about thick crust and stuff because my wife's from Chicago.
I like it.
Right.
I like it, but I don't, it's like a whole different game. It's like a lasagna. Our Chicago guys, we have a Chicago office.
Yeah, that's where my wife's from.
Yeah, they have t-shirts that they sell that says deep dish is tourist shit. So I mean they don't think true Chicagoans think deep dish. They think that's for like the passer through. I like it, but if you eat it, you're not going anywhere. It's so heavy. It takes so long.
That's the thing. And I don't want pizza that I can stick my finger in and it's half gone.
Yeah, and it's very good. It's just, it's a heavy, heavy meal.
Yeah, it's like kind of like quiche and clay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love it. It's just very different.
Well, last question, because I keep saying that, but I enjoy talking to you. So thank you. And I know you want to go home and make some money. But if you meet somebody, if a woman that you met loved pizza, like was insanely in love with pizza and loved gambling, like loved it and loved sports, do you think those qualities would be someone that you would dig more?
Probably not, but I don't know. I feel like if you're too similar like that, it's right. Almost too close. I don't know. I'd have to meet the person. I'd more need them. I think the bigger thing for me is they'd have to understand, like,
they understand
that's
you.
What I like.
Yeah, right. They have to know you. And
right.
That's not hard to do if she watches every single thing that you've done.
True. I don't want them being like me and like faking interest or having it. I mean, maybe I've never met anybody, but that person sounds like I want them to have a dick and be my best friend.
Yeah.
And if I want to actually like sleep with this person, I don't know that I want them to be like guyish.
And you don't want to hear your own voice before you go to bed.
Right. Yeah.
Come out of her mouth.
Right.
Yeah. So hey, Dave, you got any pepperoni? I'm hungry.
Yeah. Like, what about the line? So I that wouldn't be a turn on. Be like, oh, that girl loves fucking pizza and loves gambling. Like, I got to meet that. That doesn't cross my mind.
I need a piece of that.
Yeah.
I love her. She's not floppy. See, this is all bad. This is all misogynistic shit.
Yeah. Well, I haven't said it.
No, I did. But I don't mean it. That's the thing. And so people get is you can say it but not mean it, but then words matter. So there's this whole thing that's true. That's true. But I don't know. I think we're going to evolve slowly forward somehow, I think.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I'll be seeing you in New York. I'll see you on the other side, man.
All right. Thanks. That was fun.
Yeah, it was. Thanks, man. Have a good one.
All right, take care.
Dave Portnoy, Barstool Sports. That's the guy. That's the Stool Presidente. It's funny. Stool Presidente means like the president of your stool, which sounds like what would happen if you ate a whole lot of pizza. I just find him to be really funny. I don't have I don't know. I just think he's a good guy, and I had a great experience with him in New York. So that was, some of you, I'm sure you're big fans of him, and others maybe you will be, and go to barstoolsports.com and see some of these guys that are on there, and the ladies, the chicks in the office are awesome. Rhea and Fran are just smart and adorable, and Kevin Clancy, KFC, and Fiedelberg, they have KFC radio, Barstool Sports, I guess, is what they've got. You know, I don't know all the things. There's so many offshoots of this thing. Who can keep up? Anyway, I really appreciate having Dave Portnoy on. And we didn't talk about any stuff that was too extreme, except I said some screwed up stuff. So sorry about that. Anyway, thank you. You know what to do. You want to subscribe, and then you can listen or follow, depending on how you get your podcasts. And I'm going to be calling you guys really soon, like in a week or two. So you keep looking on Twitter and on Instagram stories, and I'll tell you when I'm going to call you from wherever you are in the world and see how you're doing. It'll be our pre-holiday Christmas to New Year's type. Let's bring in 2021 and talk to actual people out there that leave messages. So I will be listening to them with my producers, and we'll pick some people to call, and it'll be a fun episode. And I've got some great guests coming up. So thank you guys so much. And you want to rate, review, subscribe, you know, all that stuff. And if you make a comment, say something nice, because I can't take it. I mean, my shrink can't take all the phone calls. When one person says something mean, it just sends me to the couch. And I'm in a chair. So where am I going? I got Zoom and you guys. I wish you guys the best. I hope you're healthy. This is a really difficult time we're all going through. No matter who you are, and no matter what your mindset, no matter what political party, no matter what religion, no matter no religion, full religion, I just have respect for anybody who's a good person and wants to help further. Why did I get like that after that? That was Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. I didn't have to turn into a Obi-Wan Kenobi wannabe. And there's a phone number up there. That's the number you call and leave a message. That's not a, if you're looking on the YouTube at, youtube.com/Bob Saget, that's Red Fox and Rodney Dangerfield behind me. I never met Red. I saw him perform live, but Rodney was a close friend. So I kind of keep him over my shoulder like a comedy, little angel that loved pot. Anyway, I wish you guys the best. Happy upcoming holidays, and thanks for joining me on another episode of Bob Saget's Here For You today with the great Dave Portnoy.